Drop a Beat with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics.
Hi, I'm Adam.
And I'm Sabine. Welcome to the 14th episode of Robots. Today's show focuses on robots and music, or more like music made by robots. We first speak to Professor Gil Weinberg, who is the Director of Music Technology at Georgia Tech. With his wooden robot drummer, Hailey, he's been evolving a new beat for the future of music.
Our second guest, Professor Atsuo Takanishi, describes the Waseda flutist, a robot that mimics human lungs, vocal cords, and lips to accurately play the flute.
But first, as always, we've got the latest news in robotics. Since Christine is on vacation, Adam and I will bring you the news ourselves.
Evolution Robotics, a US-based company providing technology solutions to the robotics industry, such as the vision and visual pattern recognition algorithms of Sony's Aibo or the navigation algorithms of Huawei's Rovio, has had an eventful last week. It has just announced the closing of a Series B financing round, in which the startup company launched in 2002 raised an additional $13.9 million from three venture capital firms. In addition, Evolution Robotics' North Star Navigation System has won the Robotics Development Innovator Award's Best Component Technology for 2008.
The U.S. Army, Navy, and DARPA have granted U.S.-based company iRobot six new research contracts worth a total of $4.4 million. This follows the U.S. Congress allocating $2 million for iRobot to develop its next-generation robotic platform, Warrior 700, in early November. In total, iRobot has been awarded contracts in excess of $100 million for its PackBot military robots in 2008.
With more and more robots part of the military's active service, the New York Times has now run an article about the ongoing ethical debate about future autonomous military robots that may make their own decisions about life or death on the battlefield. The article, entitled "A Soldier Taking Orders from Its Ethical Judgment Center," highlights the views of numerous experts, including Noel Sharkey, Daniel Dennett, and Ronald Arkin, whose research hypothesis is that intelligent robots can behave more ethically in the battlefield than humans currently can.
For more robotics news and discussions, visit our forum at www.robotspodcast.com/forum.
Professor Gil Weinberg from the Georgia Tech Center for Music Technology has been successfully composing with the musical and scientific worlds. He's been on the front of the scene, creating new instruments, new musical interfaces, musical software, and even robots who can evolve tunes. His latest robot, Hailey, has been touring the world with him, imitating his drumming beats but with a twist, for the delight of the artsy and the sciency. Having mastered robot drummers, Gil is now looking to create Shimon, a marimba player, which, for non-musicians, is a sort of xylophone.
Hi Gil, welcome to Robots.
Thanks for having me.
Can you please present yourself to our listeners?
Sure, so I'm a professor at Georgia Tech and the director of music technology here. We just started a new center for music technology that involves multiple colleges and about 20 professors. I did my PhD at MIT at the Media Lab developing musical instruments for kids and for novices using mostly gestures.
So you started talking about the Music Technology Center at Georgia Tech. What are the motivations of this center?
So there are all kind of challenges in music today, in the music industry, and in general, that cannot, in my opinion, be addressed under one discipline only. And they require all kind of multiple disciplines to combine forces together and try to address them. For example, people are buying less music, the music industry is suffering, and they're looking for new ways in which they can engage people in music. Like in Guitar Hero, people are willing to buy Guitar Hero songs. or ringtones. People are willing to buy ringtones. So some of the projects, I collaborate with people from multiple disciplines, as psychology and computer science and design, to develop new instruments and new software and new cognitive approaches in order to involve people in music. There are other projects, for example, for people with disabilities. I have a collaboration with a professor from psychology, Bruce Walker, and from computation, to try to sonify all kind of dynamic environments that people that cannot see will be able to enjoy, or at least to get some sense of. For example, we're working with aquariums and try to use tracking, computer science-based tracking of vision of the fish, and try to present it to people with visual impairments through music. So this really is the kind of project that require collaboration, because I'm not a vision person in computer science, nor a psychology professor. And the robot is the same. I'm collaborating now with Professor Andrea Tomaz from robotics in Georgia Tech, and together we are trying to develop new ways in which we can allow robots to listen and to improvise with humans, trying to learn about how, as humans, we perceive music, how do we improvise music, and try to implement it to see if we can create maybe even something that will pass a Turing test. That means that will play so well that people would not know that this is a robot that is using artificial intelligence, but it will sound natural. Mm-hmm. So this is the kind of project. We have like 20 projects that all of them are collaborations of multiple colleges.
You spoke of engineers, psychologists, designers. Do you also collaborate with the musicians?
Sure. So it all started from the music department. I'm a professor in music and adjunct professor in computation. But the core of our program are music professors, or music technology professors. I was a musician before I became a computer scientist, and I was a computer scientist before I became interested in robotics. So all of our faculty in the music department, in the music technology programs, are musicians. They play instruments. Some of them are composers or theoreticians. And definitely this is where we are gathering all the other forces from around campus. So, yes, obviously I didn't mention musicians because that's where it all started.
Can I ask what instrument you play?
I play mostly piano, but I also play guitar. And if you saw me playing with Hailey, the robot, I also play all kinds of percussions.
I actually discovered Hailey at the AAAI conference in Chicago this year, and I was really bluffed at how well it can play with humans and even by itself. Can you present Hailey to us?
Sure. So Hailey came, or the idea for Hailey came after I was writing software, musical software, for a long time. And the reasons I wrote musical software was that I wanted to see if I can create a program that will play with me in a way that will be different than playing with humans. I play jazz, and I value very much interaction and improvisation with humans, but I wanted to see if I can write a piece of software that can listen to what I play, understand what I'm playing, and based on that, try to improvise me, but because it's computer, it uses different kind of processes than humans. So some of the algorithms that I used used fractals or genetic algorithms, things that humans do not use when they improvise. But I did write all kinds of programs that try to understand music the way humans do, such as understanding what's the tonality, understanding what's the beat, what's the tempo, understanding if there's tension on release, stability, all kinds of musical percepts that people have when they listen to music and use them, and I want to see if I can do it artificially. But after doing it for so long, I kind of got tired of sounds that come from computers. It was very inanimate. It was flat. No matter how expensive your sound system is, it's still not acoustic. It doesn't have the richness of acoustic sounds of traditional instruments, and it also didn't have visual cues. You know, when you play with humans, you look at them, you synchronize your movements, you can anticipate based on what people are doing, what they're going to do, coordinate, and playing with a computer didn't give me all of this. So the only thing that I could think of that can bring together the interesting algorithms that I was exploring in perception and improvisation and bring acoustic sound, rich acoustic sound, and visual cues were robots. because robots have the digital brain that can do all of this algorithmic aspect that I mentioned, and they also have the physical aspect of playing real, rich acoustic sounds with visual cues. So along with Scott Risco, my first actually graduate student at Georgia Tech, we developed Hiley to explore just that, to put some of the algorithms that I was interested in a physical acoustic robot that can play with me, that I can coordinate the gestures. And if you saw some of the video, you'll see how by looking at Hiley and anticipating what it's going to do, we can reach to completely different levels of musicality than with playing with a computer. And also, just having acoustic sound, rich acoustic sound, was something that I really appreciated.
So what does Hiley look like? What are its sensors and actuators?
The first prototype wasn't anthropomorphic. It was just a couple of arms hooked up to some kind of a table. And what we discovered is that it didn't create the kind of connection with humans that I was hoping for. And the second variation based on that, we put some kind of an anthropomorphic head for it and a body. We didn't want to make something that would be completely humanoid. And we also wanted to explore other materials, something that would be unique. We played with a powwow drum. This is a Native American big drum that is designed to be played by multiple people. You know, most instruments are designed from one person. Even if you play four hands on a piano, this is not what a piano is made for. This is something that you can do, but in the powwow case, this is made specifically for a group of people playing together, and that was a great instrument for us to explore how you can communicate with a robot on the same instrument. So the whole aesthetics of the Native American powwow ceremony led us to use wood for Hiley. So it will look the same and be in the same kind of environment to combine the traditional and the tribal maybe with technological aspects of robotics. So it has some kind of a strange head made out of wood, and it has two arms. One arm has a solenoid that can play pretty fast, like 15 hertz, faster than any human can play. 15 hertz, that means 15 times a second. The other hand is using a linear motor, which doesn't play as fast. It plays like 11 hertz or so. But what it gives us is much larger movements that are much easier to synchronize it because the arm is going higher and the whole idea of visual cues come into play much more. So a combination of a very fast and virtuosic, if you will, arm and a big, large motion-based arm created exactly the kind of aesthetics and the kind of interaction that we were interested in.
I really like the wooden aspect of this robot. I think it makes something which is really elegant and nice to look at. Is it difficult to make a robot out of wood?
So luckily, here at Georgia Tech, we have an advanced wood laboratory where you basically can design a 3D model and give it to the, you know, if you some kind of, you can call it a printer, that actually cut the wood. Yes, we did have to then send it and attach it and create a full body, but it was very nice to be able to just design it in 3D and make all the mistakes on the computer, and only when we're really ready, just go ahead and bring it to the CNC machine and cut it.
And why did you make a robot drummer?
Drumming was the first aspect that I was interested in, because you can isolate the problem, you can focus on rhythm. Yes, you can play different kind of pitches on a drum, because if you play closer to the center, it will be lower, and if you play closer to the rim, it will be higher. But you don't have to deal with all the complexity of melodies and harmonies. And I am interested in that right now, and we developed a new robot called Shimon that can play marimba, a large xylophone, where we do address issues of melodic similarity and harmonic tension and aspects that are not only about rhythm. But as a first problem that is easily isolated and can be addressed, we focused on drumming, looking at detecting the beat, detecting the tempo, detecting rhythmic stability, detecting rhythm similarity. When you listen to two different kind of rhythm, why would a human think this rhythm is similar to this one? Why would a human think this is different than that one? We try to come up with models, algorithmic models, that Hiley will also be able to figure out, hey, this is similar to this one. This is more stable. This is less stable. So it can use all of this understanding in its improvisation and focus only on the rhythm and don't address other aspects of music as a first step.
Okay, so let's look at the musical side in Haile. How does Haile decide what to play?
We had multiple applications and multiple ways in which we tried to improvise with Haile. The first thing is that we wanted the robot to listen like a human. So our slogan was, it should listen like a human, but play like a machine. So in order to create a connection with a human, we wanted it to understand music similarly to how humans understand music. But we didn't want it to play in a way that is similar to humans, because humans are just doing it better, and I doubt that we can get to really create a musician, a robotic musician in the foreseeable future that can, you know, surpass Vivetta or Charlie Parker or Rubinstein. So partly because we thought this is not a realistic goal, but also partly because we wanted to push the idea of playing music further, we wanted Haile to use other aspects in his playing. So first of all, it listens like a human, so it creates a connection with humans by listening like them, understanding all of the aspects that I mentioned about stability, similarity, rhythm, tempo, beat, so on, tension, similar to human. But then when it improvises, for example, in one of our applications that we had, it used genetic algorithms. And no humans use genetic algorithms when it improvises, maybe luckily so. But I was interested to see what kind of results, or what kind of interesting music will come up if I use genetic algorithm in improvisation. And will it be different and inspiring for me in a way that will push me to play music differently than I would play with humans? I'll say something a little bit maybe about the genetic algorithm application. So Haile had a population of musical motifs or musical ideas that I played to him ahead of time, hundreds of little motifs. Then in real time, Haile listens to musicians, to a saxophone player and to a piano player actually, and then in real time it tries to run mutations and crossbreeding of these little motifs multiple times, 50 times or 100 times, just trying to create a motif that is similar to what it listened to. So people that understand genetic algorithm, the fitness function is similarity. And we don't run the algorithm enough to create something that would be completely the same as what it had, but we run it just enough generations that it would be kind of similar, have some musical genes of what the human musician is playing live, the saxophone player or the piano player, but also carries with it the genes, if you will, the musical genes of the original population. And the responses in many times were surprising, interesting, and different than what humans would usually play. And I felt that in this particular piece, we had some moments of really achieving the goal of pushing music forward and creating something new. We had other algorithms, such as just improvising, taking some of the ideas that Haile is playing, that the human is playing with, and try to stochasticize it, playing it more stable, less stable, and so on. And currently we are working with Markov chains. Markov chains is a statistical approach where you can try to understand, in our case, what's the scale that is being played, and improvise in the scale, play something different, something new, but use the statistics of this particular scale to make it within context. So this is for Shimon, actually. I'm describing a piece for Shimon. It's playing the barimba, it listens to piano player, and it can continue what the piano player is playing using ideas that the piano player is playing and using the scale, but doing something completely different based on the statistical analysis of what it listened to.
So you went on tour with Haile.
Yeah, actually, we had, I believe, maybe 20, maybe 30 performances from Asia to Europe to the States. It was pretty big and complicated tour for us. We had to disassemble Haile every time we went on a plane. It's also kind of strange in airports to explain to people that what all the wires here are actually a musical robot. It didn't make a lot of sense to many of the folks at the airport. But when we got to places and we played with it, I think it was worthwhile. Also, it was I performed with computers over the years many times, and usually this is much more much easier, not only traveling, but also the performance itself. For example, in one of the performances that we had in Paris we just after 4 minutes into the piece, a wire broke in Haile, on stage with many people around us, and suddenly you have a technical problem, mechanical problem that you cannot quickly, you know, fix with a line of code, or you don't have all the backups because just a wire broke and you don't know what wire it is. So that was maybe not completely ready for prime time when we did that. And we are trying to create now, Shimon, much more robust and to be much more, feel much more safer about going on stage with him.
And how does the public react to these robot musicians?
I think they liked it. I think they liked it. There are reviewers that were excited about it. There are reviewers that were asking me, so what do you want to do now? Do you want to replace musicians? In how many years we will not have a musician anymore. Robots can do everything. And the answer, of course, is no. The whole interest that I have in this is how to create collaborations between humans and machines. So humans can bring, as I mentioned before, things that robots in the foreseeable future cannot bring. Emotions, expression, human creativity, and this is, I don't believe we are even close to try to model that. But robots can bring into the equation things that humans do not have, very fast processing, maybe just virtuosic skills that humans cannot have, thinking about music in a different way, mathematical way. And the idea was that if human brings everything that I just mentioned, emotion, expression, creativity, and robots bring the robotic creativity, actually, Haile, you mentioned the Triple AI exhibition, he won the first prize in robotic creativity. It's a tricky definition, I think. What is creativity is something that you have to address first. But if robots bring their creativity and their ways about thinking about music, then maybe there will be a spark of new music. We have processing and virtuosity and robotic creativity on one side and emotions and expression, human expression and emotion from another side that will lead to create new interesting music.
Thanks, Gil, for being here with us on Robots.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Professor Atsuo Takanishi from Waseda University in Japan is an expert in anthropomorphic robots, and his Takanishi lab has been busy designing all types of robots, such as bipedal walking robots, emotion expression robots, talking robots, and even rat robots. One of their long-standing projects, the aptly named anthropomorphic flutist robot, is capable of playing the flute at the level of an intermediate human player, and definitely much better than me. Let's hear Takanishi talk about his unique robot.
So good afternoon, Professor Takanishi.
Good afternoon, and thank you very much for your call from the Switzerland to Japan, far away.
It's a pretty far away.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and the work that's done at the Takanishi Laboratory?
Yes. Basically, I'm doing a research on humanoid robots. And robots applied from the knowledge and technology developed by the developing of human robots. For example, I'm developing a biped robot which has two legs, and also emotion expression robot which has a human-like head expressing emotion. And a flute player robot, which can play the commercially available typical musical instrument flute, and the many others. For the application robots, I'm developing a kind of a two-legged robot which can carry a human. I believe in the future, which can be replaced from the ordinary wheelchair, because the current wheelchair cannot move up down the staircases. But my robot is a kind of a chair having two legs, which can walk over not only the staircases, but also the train. And also I'm developing the medical robot, such as mastication, the medical jaw opening and closing training robot, and also the blood flow measurement robot, and many others.
Since we're doing an episode on musical robots, tell us a little bit about the Waseda flutist robot. I heard he's capable of playing the flute at a similar level to an intermediate level human. Can you tell us a little bit more about this robot?
Okay, I have been developing the flute player robot for more than 10 years. And year by year, the robot functionality has been improved. The current robot is Waseda Flutist number 4. Which has a capability of the a kind of a dual play, interacting with the human player, and also which can mimic the human flute play by hearing the sound of the human player. And the robot, design of the robot is basically the mimicry of human organ related to the flute play, such as the lungs and throat, which generates the vibrato, or which even have a human-like tongue, which could play the tonguing. And the robot also play the many musical tunes. If you give the robot the MIDI file, MIDI file is a kind of a general chord to express the music. So, but unfortunately, this robot doesn't have any normal communication functions, such as verbal communication or something like that. But in the future, I'd like to add more functionality to the musician robot.
So what is the purpose of this flutist robot? Would you like to just mimic human flute playing, or would you like to play the flute along with a human in a duet? Or is it more, would you like the flutist robot to play even better than a human?
At this moment, the human player is much, much better than the robot, because there are so many issues in order to make a human like play. But basically, this robot is developed to analyze or to clarify human flute play by reproducing the human-like playing with a robot having the human-like structure, such as the lungs, throat, or oral cavities, or many human organs related to the flute play. So, of course, we are not expert on the human flute play. So we have been collaborating with the professional flutist for many years. And his name is Mr. Wakamatsu. He was a pupil of the very famous flutist called Marcel Moyes. Marcel Moyes, of course, he died, but many people call him God of flute. So Mr. Wakamatsu inherited many methodologies from Mr. Moyes, how to play the flute. So my group and Mr. Wakamatsu collaborating in order to make the robot to play the flute based on the methodology of Moyes' methodology. For example, Mr. Moyes invented a very good training methodology, which is called general position. general position is a kind of a methodology to converge a kind of a optimum positioning between the fruit embouchure and the human lips. So if you continue that kind of training based on the methodology, so you can finally reach to the optimum positioning in order to play the flute very fluently or very robustly. So this is a very important collaboration between the bassist and the flutist. We are combining the current flutist robot, which mimics the human internal organ related to the human anatomy or human flute play, with the methodology which originally invented for, of course, for the human flute play. So combination of the hardware, robot hardware, and the software, collaborating with the flutist, maybe it become a good result, which clarify or which can or where we can understand how humans play flute in terms of robotics. This is our basic idea why we are making the flute player robot based on the human structure.
You've mentioned that you've been working on this robot for over 10 years and you're on version 4 right now of the hardware. Can you tell us a little bit about the iterations? What have you learned during these 10 years? What were the most difficult parts to mimic? Is it the lips that were difficult or the lungs?
Yes, the mimicry of the human flute play is very, very tough. For example, the most important part of in the flute play on human is the lips. Because the you need to make a very good air beam. Air beam is the origin of the flute sound, because flute is doesn't have any lead, so only your lips makes the kind of a virtual lead, of course, which is generated by the air. The mimicry of human-like lips for the robot is one of the most challenging issues. So we have been focusing on making the human-like lips for many years. And also the control or making of the lungs is also very difficult. First of all, lung motion or airflow control is very, very important in the human flute play. So, and also, lung, the actuator for the lung may be the most powerful part in the robot. But, of course, the robot is a musical player. So the mechanism, the robot mechanism cannot generate mechanical noise. And also a vibrato mechanism, which is also located the position, exact position as a human. Several years ago, we developed a speech production robot. And the robot also is a kind of a mimicry of human organs related to speech production of human. And the robot vocal cord is one of the important mechanisms in the speech production robot. So we found that the vocal cord for the speech production robot also can be useful for the flute player robot to make vibrato. So try that. Then the robot vibrato becomes very good compared with the previous mechanism. So this means that the vocal cord for the flute player, of course, the flute player robot cannot generate the vocal sound, but for the vibrato control, the human-like vocal cord mechanism is also very important. And the final part is tongue, because in the flute player, the tonguing is very, very important to play the flute, or in the flute performance. Currently, the robot oral cavity is made by the special soft material called septon. Septon is a kind of a very soft but very strong material, so the material cannot be easily broken, not like the silicone rubber, because silicone rubber is sometimes very easy to for using of the soft material for the robot. The silicone rubber is very weak, so it is easily broken.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the lips, the lungs, and the throat or vocal cord, and the tongue are the most important part of the robot. And we put many efforts in order to improve those components for the flute player over the last 10 years.
So are you working on a fifth version of this robot? Maybe can you tell us some of the challenges that remain, some of the problems you haven't yet tackled, and what the improvements you're looking for?
Yeah, unfortunately, we are leaving the WF4. We haven't yet started the development of the fifth version, because last year we started to make another wind instrument robot which can play the saxophone.
The saxophone?
Because in the future, I personally want to make a kind of an orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
So now the flute player robot became a kind of a acceptable rebel in the play of the flute. So we want to move to the other type of musician robot. So we finally decided to move to the saxophone robot. In the beginning of the development, the saxophone play didn't so difficult, but because the saxophone is a lead instrument, so the making of the sound is, of course, much easier to than playing the flute. However, we found that changing of the volume of the resulted sound on the saxophone was very, very difficult. You can only continue the same volume. And mostly the volume is very large. So, if you listen to the jazz music, there are many saxophones are being played. So the many musicians changes the volume very easily and rapidly. However, making of the saxophone robot is totally different. Well, we found a lot of problems. So I believe it's worse to put our effort for the saxophone robot to have the more higher performance or capability of beautiful or exciting sound in the near future.
Thank you very much, Professor Takanishi.
Yeah, thank you very much, Adam-san, for calling me from Switzerland.
Thank you.
For more information on today's guests, or if you want to listen to Haile, Shimon, or the anthropomorphic flutist robot, just go around to our website at www.robotspodcast.com.
Our next show will air in 2 weeks, but in the meantime, stay in touch through our forum for the latest news and hot topics in robotics.
Thanks for listening. Hope to see you in 2 weeks.
Drop a Beat with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics.